Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. This week, Nick and I are getting excited for FOBAB. Lots of events happening around that this weekend. And then we talk about all the things we hit up this past week. Brewtacular, we hit up a handful of brew pubs like On Tour, Great Central, Goose Island, and Nick was even out drinking some scotch. All that and more on this week's episode.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Rah, rah, rah!
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we are drinking soda this week, right?
You know, when he pulled it out, I'm like, this looks just like that $12 soda they try to sell me at Small Cheval with my burger.
Yeah.
And I'm not going. Uh-huh. Every time, I'm not going.
Yeah, we're drinking the Worry. Is it Worry or Worry?
Worry sounds good.
Worry from Off Color. It's their 3.8%. Is it chia? Chia-inspired beer. So the chia is that beer that you, like, chew the, like, I don't know, the grain, and you spit it in.
Yeah, it was somewhere. I want to say the Aztecs or somewhere down.
Peru.
In Peru.
Yeah.
Yeah, where when they made it, they didn't make this beer this way.
No.
But the original style was they would chew the corn in their mouth, right? Mm-hmm. And then that began the process of, you know, of the beer.
Peruvian purple corn.
Yeah.
And honey malt in this.
And that that show that...
The Dogfish Head one, or yeah. That Sam Calagione was the star of, like...
What was that? It was
Brewmaster?
A good show. Brewmasters.
Yeah.
They made a Worry beer. I think they actually spit it.
Actually spinning it, yeah.
Yeah. This was not made with any spit. I'm going to spin your beer right
what?
Now, Brad. So we can... No.
That all gets boiled out anyway.
It's yeah, like, that's true.
All that spit gets boiled out. I know when I was in Peru, 5 years ago, we were looking for, like, that beverage, we never could find it.
Yeah.
It was like supposed to be like you put like a plastic bag on the like outside of your door when you have it. I don't know. We never really saw it.
Oh, and it's like hooch and like someone knows you want this beer.
Yeah, it's kind of like homebrew stuff. I don't know if they still spit on it, but it's just like kind of makeshift booze. Yeah. But this doesn't taste like this tastes well crafted.
This beer's pleasant. Nice hint of tartness. They're using some kind of berry in here. Mole berry?
Mole berry, okay.
Yeah. Oh, and lactobacillus. Mm-hmm. Oh, and this is a collab with the Field Museum.
Right, so that's what it's kind of weird and off and different.
It's right in line with, you know, just about everything they do.
That's true, yeah, very much. But it's appropriate that we're drinking this because this week Off Color opened up their tap room.
They sure did, the Mousetrap. Mm-hmm. Great name for a tap room.
Yeah.
And this is right in the shadows of the Lincoln Park Whole Foods.
Right, yeah.
It's just like...
right next door.
Yeah, it's like right there. So it's cool, man. It's almost like... it's like what, like an industrial kind of... I want to say like an industrial strip mall, kind of.
Right.
That's kind of how it looks.
There's also like the Children's Science Museum or thing that's like attached like down the way a little bit, or it was. I don't know if it's still there.
They got parking in the back, which is cool.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. And I went for the Dino S'mores launch party.
Cool.
Yeah. So we missed coffee. Coffee Dino S'mores just kicked.
Yeah.
And I believe Barrel Aged Dino S'mores was gone too.
Okay.
Yeah. So we missed both of those.
So did you pick up bottles too, or did you just have it on draft?
Yeah, I got a 4-pack to go.
Okay.
Yeah, so when I was there, they have a Buffalo Trace barrel aged Dino S'mores that they're not going to sell from like 2 years ago, I believe.
Okay.
But on tap they had maybe 6 beers, barrel aged growl, and then and like a bunch of Dino S'mores variants. And you get to see the space.
Yeah. How's it look?
It's fantastic.
Okay.
That space looks really good. I don't know. Oh yeah, so they're doing all the clean beers there? No, all the sour beers there and the clean beers at the original location, I think.
Oh, okay. Think so they actually do brew there, or they just barrel there?
I believe there's a brew system there. I definitely saw the fooders. I didn't get the tour.
Okay.
But the fooders are kind of hard to miss as soon as you walk in.
Mm, yeah. Okay. So it is a brew or So it's a tap room because they don't have food, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right. They got a pizza hotline. You can call and order any pizza, bring any food in.
Right. Well, why don't you just go to Whole Foods? You have unlimited supply of all kinds of stuff at their like hot bar kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious to know like what other places they vetted before landing in that space. It's a nice space. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's good for that area because what's over there other than Goose?
Right. Yeah, because we've talked about it before that when you go to Goose, there's nothing there. Like, why would you go to Goose? And now hopefully that adds a little something extra to maybe go to Goose and then go over to Off Color, something like that.
Yeah, you got that Goose, Off Color, Benny's Triangle right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a good time. They're actually calling it, I think that neighborhood is Goose Island, like the neighborhood.
Yeah.
When people are checking in on like Foursquare, it pops up as Off Color at Goose Island.
Yeah, it is because it's in between that. Before the water there, yeah. So that makes sense. Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I need to check it out. Talked about like usually ride my bike, so maybe I'll hit it up on my way home one day and just stop in. Maybe after the first week, because like the insane like craze dies down a little bit.
I love the tile work there. The tile is like this play on like this landscape that a mouse would play on, but it's in kind of like this 80s kind of font. You know, like 80s computer game kind of font. Kind of like if you ever go to, now it's Geno's East, but if you, as soon as you walk into Geno's East, that's the old Michael Jordan's restaurant, and you lift up that rug and you see the old basketball with the Michael Jordan shoes on it, it's in that style.
Uh-huh.
I'm drawing a blank on that, whatever that's called, but
okay.
It just looks really cool.
Nice. Okay. Cool. So you did that. Did you make it to anything else? I know I saw some pictures from Hoptacular.
Oh, yeah. The 7th Annual Beer Hoptacular, man.
Man. Okay.
Yeah. So I was at the morning session, and this was at CineSpace. You know, I think I've been to all of these, man.
Okay.
Yeah. It was one of my favorite parties because it would always rotate. You know, it's been at Aragon a few times. You know, it's been at it was at an outdoor pop-up tent once. You know,
right. Where that horse thing was.
Yeah. And, you know. And the last 2 years, since it's been under Lou Dog Events, has been out at CineSpace.
Yeah, I missed this year.
Yeah, it was great. They were saying how, the rooms are all painted black now. So it gives it like a clean, like party space kind of look. It's still in an open, you know, film studio.
Right.
But it gives it a little bit of a different vibe. And they doubled the space this year. So they got, you know, two rooms instead of the one. And the... everyone was lined up, not in alphabetical order, but in order of distribution. You know, so if you were with Windy City, you're on this wall. And if you're independent, you're in, like, the next room, right?
Oh, okay.
That kind of thing.
Interesting.
You know, he's stepping his game up, man. He's doing a lot of cool stuff. There's, like, there's this insole booth that was there last year. But this year there was an infusion station. You know, there's a mariachi band. There's this Lou Dog Secret Society you can sign up for. They were pouring that fun-size beer that was... you know, from Pollyanna, the one that's inspired like a candy bar.
Candy bar, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of cool tappings that I wasn't expecting to see. Like, I don't know if you had anything from Prairie Artisan Ales in Oklahoma.
They're like the Bomb or Bomb.
Yeah, they got that Bomb series. I had something called Paradise. It was like a 14% stout with like coconut and vanilla.
Oh, okay.
You know, Goose Island's pouring coffee, BCS from 2014, you know, yeah, Reaper versus Unicorn from Pipeworks. A lot of cool stuff. You know, I was expecting everybody to bring, like, their mainline stuff. But there were some exceptions to that. So I had myself a good old time, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah. There was a Gumball Head merch. Gumball Head the Cat. Rob Sayers, the guy who designed Gumball Head.
Yeah.
He had his own booth. And, you know, I meant to get these. He had some really cool, like, Lou Dog events merch.
Oh, that stuff he drew kind of thing?
Yeah, Beer Hoptacular shirts or the Chicago Elfest hat was probably my favorite item that I saw, and I didn't get either one of those. I hope they put it up on their website.
Oh, awesome. Nice. Yeah, I saw a few pictures from it. How did it compare to other years, do you think?
This was good. My favorite venue was probably still the Aragon. I mean, you know, the Aragon is a really cool venue.
Yeah.
I think, but those parties were often like a little too crowded, and then, like, you know, if there are, you know how the Aragon's got two levels, they got the main floor seating, then they got that, like, movie theater pavilion style seating upstairs.
Right.
Those areas are kind of, like, unnecessarily dark, like, really kind of weird. I learned a story about Beer Hoptacular, so apparently, I always thought it was a Jam Productions event, But this guy who was the founder of Parse Rum, I don't know if you had Parse before.
No, I don't think so.
He's the guy who started Beer Hoptacular, actually, was the founder of Parse Rum. And when Parse Rum took off, he said, hey, man, I'm selling rum. I got no time for anything beer related.
Okay.
So then, you know, he stops. He says, I'm going to stop doing it. So then Marty Nature, who runs the homebrew competition, you know, he said, hey, man, you know, it doesn't have to die. I know this guy that's, you know, doing all these parties at Lou Dog events. Why don't you guys talk?
Take it over.
And then, boom, he took it over. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. Yeah, my favorite part is hanging out with those homebrew guys, man. Like, well, the homebrew judges, right? There's always guys from the Chicago Beer Society. There's Marty Nature. There's a couple guys from the Beverage Institute.
Oh, cool.
You know, and that's always a good time because they're always talking about events that happened in the 80s and 90s, you know, so.
It's just like, okay, that's cool.
But it had me wondering, man, like, is there a, what's better than November for craft beer, man? I was thinking about Dark Lord Day and Chicago Craft Beer Week, which, you know, Beer Under Glass, and this year the Pipeworks pop-up. That's in May. And, you know, May is a pretty good month. But as a month, you know, you're talking Black Friday, Beer Hoptacular, FOBAB.
Yeah, those are pretty big. You know. Yeah, can you slip a... Is there another one that we're missing for that weekend in between all that? Yeah, I don't know.
Usually the Map Rooms anniversary is usually in November.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I don't know what my favorite month is, but... November is near the top, man. And I think this party is a part of that for me.
You know? Okay.
So it was good, man.
That's awesome. And we've had, what, two, or we have Off Color opening this month. And then I think Maple.
The Maple Room.
Maple Room is going to open soon, too. So, yeah, it's turning into a good November for sure.
Yeah.
Nice. Anything else then with Hoptacular? Or you go anywhere else afterwards?
Hoptacular. Oh, a couple more notes about Hoptacular. They have room for 6,000. They capped it at 4,000 though.
Okay.
Oh, but the city initially wanted them to only have 250 people in each room because there's only one, like,
exit.
There's only one fire exit in each room, and so they had this. The city had to file like this 1 day exemption with the city in order to get more people in there. Ridiculous red tape they were talking about.
That's crazy. 250 people.
They're like, you can only. I mean, this place is huge, man.
Right. Yeah.
It's like one of the biggest spaces of any party.
There would have been 250. Brewers and people pouring.
Just staff, So that was funny. But yeah. Beer Hop was a great time, and I had a really good time. So talking 150 breweries, no, 74 breweries, 150 beers.
That's awesome. Yeah. Cool. Let's see. I made it over to Great Central again.
Right on. Now, these are the guys.
That are just brewing. A lot of people share their room. Maplewoods, they're brewing Beguile stuff. They're brewing War Pigs. Just a lot of different people.
How's that space, man?
It's big. That's the only way to describe it. It's not super nice. It's not ugly. It's just this big room, tons of seating. They have board games. Like, you could just have like a big group there, no problem.
I can picture the space. I don't think what was there? Was that building even there before they moved in?
No, they built that building.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that might have been, there was like a storm. And one of those walls fell down, I think, and like flattened a truck or something.
Yeah. Initially, the concept of like a contract brewer in Chicago, I didn't understand where they were going with that. Like, why would you do that? But
it's working out.
Dude, they got some serious clients, man, you know?
So I just really went in to check it out because I saw you had checked into and posted a picture from On Tour.
Oh, yeah. I was around the corner at On Tour.
So I was like, I can't go to On Tour. So I went over to Great Central.
I had a German Pils and a West Coast IPA.
Okay.
After, because I was the judge in the homebrew contest, right? And shout out to Boss Brewers of South Suburbia. They won the homebrew contest at Beer Hoptacular. But once you try these beers, these really ambitious beers these homebrewers are making, and, you know, like the body could be a little different, or, you know, there's like this strange aftertaste, or I don't know, this kind of smells like cooked vegetables.
They're not right. They're right.
Right. And then then you go to a place like On Tour, and it's like, they're not trying to do, they just want to make clean, good beer.
Yeah.
You know, no frills. And I was like, I didn't appreciate that until I did this homebrew contest. Right.
Until you have bad stuff. You don't realize how good some things are. So, I didn't go on tour, so I went there. And then I also stopped in at Goose, Fulton Pub. Was open, pretty busy over there. I just grabbed one beer. I had the Bridge. It was a American Oak barreled aged beer, okay. Like low ABV though. So really nice.
I'm glad they're doing other stuff with like their off season program, if you will, or, you know, just having like other options other than the low drinkability of the 14% Bourbon County Stout.
Right. Exactly. You know? Yeah.
This way, it does not for every occasion.
Yeah. I did not want one of those. I may have gotten it if I would have saw, like, oh, coffee's on tap for whatever reason or something. I might have got it, but I saw the bridge. I was like, never even heard of this beer.
Right.
I'm going to check it out. And yeah. It was great.
And their prices are pretty solid over there.
Yeah, and they're good. You get a weird mix of people coming in there because yeah. You have people. Some guy sat down next to me and asked the bartender, like, oh, how long you guys been open? And, like, I think the tap
room. Have
you
guys been brewing long?
The tap room. And she's like, yeah, like 3 years. He's like, oh, what? I didn't even know. And then some other ladies coming in, like, oh, I like Allagash and Blue Moon. What do you got? And so they gave her 312, yeah. Yellow.
And not green.
Not green. Don't give her green. So you just get that weird mix that people are searching out Bourbon County and people yeah. That are like, I don't know. I just wandered in here. For some reason, I'm in this, like, packing district neighborhood.
It's basically yeah. What it is, right? You know, that area is coming. It's coming to life, man, just on the beer side. Because, you know, like, well, Cobra was always there, but Cobra's brewing now. And then, yeah, this On Tour and Finch is right there and Goose. That's all pretty much on the same corner. Like,
yeah, they have coasters. They're a block apart. At Goose, it's like Brewing District or something they're calling it.
Yeah.
They have them all listed with a little map so you could like make a little tour and go to them all.
Yeah. Like On Tour is a couple blocks away.
Yeah.
Reinhall, which is a distillery, is a couple blocks away.
Yeah, but that has super weird hours.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And then you can't go to Finch or no one knows.
Yeah, what's up with Finch, man? Yeah.
If you're gonna be there, let people come in, right?
I mean, dude, they went out of the way to put that big ass sign up to say they painted the whole building said with Finch.
I know. No one cares about you, Finch. But if you're open, people might start caring. How am I gonna try your beer?
I'm on the green line.
I gotta buy a four pack.
It's hard to miss that sign. Yeah.
Not buying a four pack. I'll go to the tap room and I'll try something.
Get your life together,
yeah.
Finch. All right, because I kind of want to go see what. Like you said, you're over there in the meatpacking beer district. I want to hit all the meatpacking
yeah.
breweries.
Yeah, give me a meat beer. Come on.
Oh, I went to a prop day at Bang Bang Pie Shop.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Not prop day. Prop day is on the 18th.
Prop pie day
at Bang Bang Pie Shop. I think they had like 40 pre-orders and like 50 walk-ups. Nothing really to report there. They had some prop on tap.
Was there a line for it?
No, you could slide right in.
I remembered around like noon.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's too late.
I got there, it started at 9, so I got there like 8-ish.
Okay.
But then like everyone in line had already pre-ordered.
Oh, nice.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Dude, they did a good job with that pie, man, because it's not too, it's not overly rich. So you can still pair it with beer. You can still pair it with like ice cream. You know what I mean? Like it's a good complement to something that's sweeter. And that's what I dug about it. The custard is kind of, it's dense. You know, it's not like, you know, creamy. It's kind of, you know what I mean? It's good. It's good.
Did they have the Bourbon County go with it, or
yeah? So you give your token, and then you get like a small pour, maybe like a 2 ounce pour.
Okay.
Yeah. So
did you dive into the pie right there.
Right on the spot, man. Not here to fuck around.
Oh
man.
Shit!
I'm like, dude, let me get these breakfast biscuits. Let me get this coffee. Let me get this BCS. Let me open this pie.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like a great way to start your day.
I was a happy camper. And then they started, you know, this guy had this backpack on, one of the Goose guys. They started pouring around, like, hot apple cider.
Oh, okay.
I was like, dude, you know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of being on, like, a camping trip or something. We went on the camping trip with those guys at the Hot Farm.
Yeah.
And it was reminiscent of that for me.
Oh, that's cool.
Just, like, a really, like, it was a very good Sunday morning. Very good.
So. Awesome. Well, I think that does it for our week then, right?
Yeah. Wait. Oh, I got one more thing.
One more event.
Okay. I went to the Heavy Feather in Logan. So Slippery Slope is downstairs. Heavy Feather is like this. Not really speakeasy, but it's a bar with a different theme upstairs.
Okay. Because downstairs they have like little bottle cocktails. Yeah. They have skee ball.
High energy. A lot of hip hop. A lot of high energy dance music. Whenever I go to Slippery Slope, it's always a fun time.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Heavy Feather is a different vibe. It's like walking into like 1978, like Love Boat era, like kind of bar.
Okay.
You know? Oh, but the Glenfiddich guys were there because they're a single malt whiskey producer, Scotch, and they had a new product. They have this new experimental series.
Okay.
So they introduced three. The one I was interested in was they have an IPA Scotch, man. Scotch is jumping the shark now with this bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Wow.
It was interesting, though, because there's a crew called Spaceside? Am I saying that right? You know, it refers to the region over there.
I don't know.
Oh, well, Spaceside IPA. So they made this, they took the Scotch barrel, which starts as a bourbon barrel.
Yeah.
They took the Scotch barrel. They designed an IPA to season that barrel, right?
Okay.
And they were like, the Scotch guys are saying, hey, man, when we had the beer kind of tasted like shit. But what they had to do was like overly hop and make a overly bitter IPA so that it would stand up to the cask. So they seasoned the cask for 4 to 6 months with an IPA, pour the IPA out, put the Scotch in it.
I'm surprised they didn't keep the IPA.
I wonder what happened to the IPA. That'd be a follow-up question for me.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe it was really bad or like infected or something, but okay.
Because, so you know, when you go down to the Bourbon Trail, they'll tell you, beer, you know, whiskey starts as beer, basically, right?
Like, yeah.
And then, but they would never sell you the beer, you know, as a finished product because it's not, you know, it's not very good.
Right.
Yeah. So.
So then how did the Scotch taste?
The Scotch was nice. I didn't understand it until I had the other two Scotches, you know.
Can
you
like go, how the flavor tasted? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's like, you know, and I think the whole point of the event was to say, hey, you know, a lot of people view Scotch as something that's neat and you should have on your own. But, you know, Scotch is actually like a very versatile drink that goes in cocktails. And most of the Scotches that are made are not peated. There are some exceptions, you know, like the Lafroy guys.
Oh, really?
And, you know, the Cutty Sark guys. They make overly peated Scotches. But these guys are saying the top five producers, you know, who is it? Like Glenlivet and Ballymena and Highland Park and I'm missing a few. Macallan. Mm-hmm. It's like 90% of their products aren't peated at all. And peated, of course, just refers to, hey, we got this malted barley and we dried it with this peat, which infuses this smoky kind of. They're saying most of those products.
What?
Yeah, most of those products are not peated.
That's great. I always think Scotch and peat go together.
Yeah, I think so too. But you know, it was interesting, man.
Why wouldn't they just dry hop the Scotch? What did putting the IPA in a barrel do versus just throwing hops into the barrel?
It's just laws in Scotland. That is a good question. Someone asked that. They said, hey, you know, it's not like Canadian whiskey allows for up to like 15% of other ingredients, whether that's, you know, a mulled wine or, you know, like straight up rum or whatever. You can add that in Canadian whiskey. And you know how American whiskey has that weird, it's not a weird rule, but they have a rule that you can only use the barrel once.
Yeah, bourbon.
Bourbon has that rule.
American
whiskey, y'all bet.
Free game.
Yeah, a little looser, right? Oh, but they were saying like, hey, with this, that's just one of the rules. You can't add anything to it.
Oh, okay.
And that was their way around it. And they were like, hey, you know, we're this 150, you know, 200-year-old company, and we got all this Scotch, you know, and we need to do something. So it gave them some room to start this experimental series.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good idea.
Oh, IPA is, here it has to be called an India Pale Ale cask. Everywhere else in the world is just called IPA Scotch, right? But they said if you called it IPA Scotch here, it would be misleading.
Because people would think it's a Scotch IPA, like a Scotch beer, but like a bitter Scotch beer, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, kind of like, you know, Canadian breakfast stout and Kentucky breakfast stout, they can't be called that. They had to be abbreviated.
Yeah.
You know, so, and it's kind of along those same lines. Like, you can't call it a Canadian breakfast stout if it's not from Canada. From Canada. Why do I from Canada? Right. So, you know, but that's here. Only here. Everywhere else, it's just called IPA Scotch.
Interesting. Okay. Cool.
But yeah, that's the last thing I went to.
Awesome. I might have to keep an eye out for the Scotch.
Yeah, it was interesting, man. It's like a $60 play
okay.
for that one. Yeah. And they had another one called Project 20. And then they had a third one, which was aged in ice wine barrels.
Ice. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know my dad's been getting into Scotch for a few years, so, and he likes beer, so maybe this is a good Christmas gift.
Yeah, man. This Row Shotgun, the IPA Scotch, they paired it with Founders All Day IPA. It was very pleasant.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. So now that does it for our week. coming up this week, it all revolves around FOBAB, really.
The 15th annual.
25th, right?
No.
I thought it was 25th.
It can't be. That can't be right. Because remember.
It's 15th? I thought it was 25th.
It can't be 25. No way. I think 15th. We'll pull it up.
I think it was 25.
We both got these fancy new phones. We're going to pull it up right now.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But FOBAB is this weekend.
This year it's happening again at the UIC Forum. 3 sessions. There's one on Friday and then 2 on Saturday, a Saturday morning and a Saturday afternoon. I believe the event is sold out.
I know for sure Friday night and Saturday, which is when the awards are.
Saturday afternoon, yeah.
Because it serves as a competition as well. So you got judges flying in from across the country, JBF-esque style to, 15th.
15th. All right. You were right.
I was like, dude, is that really? Because I remember when we did, remember we went to, Bridgeport? I remember that being the 10th.
Okay. Because
we had to lug around all that. We did the documentary. We had all this gear, and I just remember the number 10.
I just felt like it was 25 because there's no way I'd been to so many of them. I've pictured, because I've been going to FOBAB for probably 10 years.
You remember? Yeah, I was going to say, you remember your first one, man? It's...
I don't know if we were doing a Hopcast. We might have done a Hopcast at the first one I ever went to.
Because it started at...
The Plumbers Union.
Plumbers Union over in good old that good West Loop.
Yeah. I could probably go back on a Hopcast there. I don't know if I went to one before doing a Hopcast or not.
I tell you, that's the first time I heard about it was I watched an episode of the Hopcast and you guys recorded both sessions, right?
Yeah.
And I think a Crowley, this was pre-Haymarket.
Yeah, so we had to have gone previously and not gone to both sessions and then like...
So you're probably talking like 07, 08 probably for you. 07 would put you at 10 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my first one was 2010.
Okay. And then if you look back, FOBAB also started, it was at Rock Bottom for like I think a year.
Yeah.
And then it was in like, I want to say like Pete Crowley's garage
I think it started at Crowley's, went to Rock Bottom, then it made a stop at the old Goose Wrigley, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then Plumbers Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And now it's at a USC Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but before USC Forum,
Bridgeport.
My favorite one, Bridgeport Skyline, the Skyline Loft at Bridgeport Art Center.
Right, because that whole path is a very interesting thing for FOBAB because you get a sense of like scrappiness in the beginning. Then Plumbers Union was kind of like, all right, we gotta make this legit.
At the time, it was like a nice upgrade, right?
Yeah.
It's like, look at all this space. Look at all these lights, you know.
We got a stage. We can do awards.
You know, we got this upstairs where the, you know, VIP can be.
Yeah. They quickly outgrew that, and it got to just be a cluster. Because you could also, when it was at the Plumbers Union, you could basically start at one end and drink your way around.
Yeah.
And you could drink almost every beer at FOBAB.
Yeah.
Like about 8 years ago, yeah. And now, then it went to Bridgeport, which was a really good Chicago location.
It was a perfect location, I thought. You could see downtown from up there. You know, everything was really nice, soft lighting, you know, wood everywhere. And then, but people got stuck in the elevator. It was old vintage elevators there.
And it was far from everything, not only for like bringing the beer, but if something happened or getting people there. So, and now it's at the USC Forum, which is probably the most practical place.
Yep.
But they've kind of outgrown that too.
Yeah.
It's
because it used to just be 2 sessions.
Yeah, they do the main room, then they have this other side room where they have ciders
and sours.
And not even all the sours. It's like ciders and something else.
Berries.
Perry's and then they have the upstairs for the VIP and workers.
Yeah.
So crazy.
It's a good party. I think it's our finest hour as a city, you know? Well, all these beers take so long to make and you know, they're such limited quantities, you know, and they're so.
Yeah. But we'll be there.
Right? Yeah.
Saturday session. So keep an eye out for us. Probably taking photos, video, whatever, you know, stuff we do.
You know, stuff.
Yeah, but this is going to be the first place where the masses can try the new Bourbon County that makes you wet your pants.
I got a feeling Goose is going to act bad at this thing, too, because, you know, they weren't allowed to go to GABF. They've been around 29 years. This is the first time they haven't been to GABF. So this is their first real party of the year, right? Yeah. You know, so, yeah. But they always bring the pain at that thing, mm-hmm. you know. There's always the longest line.
Yeah. I would highly recommend if you're going, just go to Goose right away. Or split up, have someone wait in the Goose line, and you go fill up glasses at like Perennial or Side Project, or I don't know what's gonna be the hot one this year right now.
Yeah, everywhere you turn, there's gonna be something nice. I was really, you know, even like national players are getting into it, like Weldworks from Colorado. You know, I get excited about Spawn from, you know, Jester King down in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
You know, I think. You have guys who, like, I remember Spiteful a few years ago, not nationally when we're talking, but Spiteful made their debut at FOBAT.
Damn.
You know, they're like, we didn't have a ticket. So then they entered, you know, barrel-aged GFY, and then a year later they ended up, you know, winning for barley wine and for stout, which is cool.
I think I have usually a few beers. I'll wait for this new Bourbon County. But then for the most part, I just go to random things. I'm like, oh, what's this?
Yeah.
Hey, let me try this. I have no game plan because all beers you can only have once, more than likely, and you won't remember them.
Yeah, I think I think Steve Masney from Beer Down Low said it best. He's like, 85% of the beers you have in this room, if you went to a bar, it would be the first beer you got. And this is a room full of those beers. And I think that's the perfect way to describe FOBAT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, get ready for that. Hopefully everyone listening has tickets. We'll probably just next week, if we're not on location somewhere, we're just going to talk about FOBAT.
Yeah.
We should probably, even if we're recording somewhere, just do a side episode for everyone about FOBAT.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah. But leading up to FOBAT, we got events.
Yeah, there's tons of pre-FOBAT events. It becomes like this week-long celebration of barrel-aged beer. And, you know, we're really close to Chicago geographically. It's so close to, you know, the bourbon country, right? So, and that's really, I think, why that's a huge part of why barrel-aged beers are so popular here. You know, that's Goose got into it around 1992, 1995, depending on who you ask. You know, we're close to that place, and we really enjoy these kind of beers. Oh, but anyway, let's talk about these parties. Benny's, flagship Benny's is doing a Benny's Barrel-Aged Classic. That's a $40 ticket. That's on Wednesday.
Okay.
That's from 6 to 8. They invited 50 breweries out. You can see a list of their breweries at their website. It actually looks like a pretty legit party, man.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. FOBAB sneak peek at the Beer Temple.
Okay.
So they are going to have 10 FOBAB beers on draft, and they're also going to have bottles that they're going to be sharing as well that they're going to be pouring from. The local option. I love local option. Their party is the local option, the festival of the Festival of Brewers Beers. That's this week. Moody Tongue, and you know, they're gonna have a barrel aged tap takeover all week. They're gonna do the 9th through the 13th. So they're gonna have 5 of their barrel aged beers on tap. And then the Avery's getting in on the action. So the Avery's gonna have parties at Fountainhead and at Link's this week.
Okay.
All barrel aged beers.
I think I'll make my way. I think friend's having a birthday party Saturday after FOBAB. So yeah.
Oh wow.
At Link's. So
there you go. And then Kaiser Tiger's getting in on the act. They have an event called the Dice of Doom. So you can roll a 20-sided dice for the right to win a bottle of Malort Barrel-Aged Dark Lord.
Okay.
Now, I didn't even know that Malort required a barrel, you know, right?
Like, that was just the bathtub.
I thought it was just like bathtub liqueur. But yeah, so there's that. Oh, speaking of Dark Lord, shout out to Lone Wolf. It was their fourth year anniversary party.
Okay.
And they had Dark Lord on tap this week.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Yeah, they've got like dedicated Floyd's taps. They got like 4 dedicated Floyd's taps over there.
Damn.
Yeah. Whew.
That's it?
Yeah, I think so.
And we got a whole page of beer news to get through here too. Man, this show is like creeping. How about we do 2 highlights and we'll kick out some extra beer news.
Okay.
So we don't run over everyone's, I know everyone likes these episodes for their commute.
Keep
them at like 30 minutes for people, right?
Keep it 30 minutes.
Give me 2 highlights and then we'll do We'll record the rest and we'll throw out a link on
Twitter.
That
sounds good. Six Flags has an event called the Last Call Fall Festival. Okay. So from the 4th through the 19th, every Saturday and Sunday, from noon to 8, they're going to have 20 local breweries and live music at Six Flags. And then after that, they're done for the season.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so that's a cool event. Also, Imperial Flannel Pajamas from Beguile. That's their big barrel-aged stout. That goes on sale November 17th.
Nice.
So, all right, cool. And we'll stop there.
2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Keep a lookout on our Twitter. We'll cover the rest of the beer news on there for everyone. We're keeping this around 30 minutes.
Yeah.
Everyone getting to work or wrapping up their day. So make sure you have your beer.
I'm like, Nick, shut the fuck up. It's been 38 minutes.
So, Nick, where can people find you, get in touch, you know, tell you what beers they should have at FOBAB or let you know? Or...
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. Website, chicagobeerpass.com. All the episodes are posted there. Links to iTunes, Stitcher, the YouTube version as well. And, yeah, our Instagram, we're posting there all the time, almost daily.
Yeah.
Check that out. Yeah. And, yeah. And we'll be back with some FOBAB info next week. Take care.
Cheers.